This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Isaac Davey Aronson, in for Frank Stacio. Employment opportunities in North Carolina are looking up this week in one niche category. Anybody with experience coaching a Division I football program or leading a major university's athletic department should polish up that resume. UNC Chancellor Holden Thorpe fired football coach Butch Davis this week in a somber and unexpected press conference.
I made the decision in the fall that I was going to support Coach Davis in his efforts to improve the football program. But I can no longer overlook the fact that what started as a purely athletic issue has begun to chip away at this university's integrity. I cannot stand for that. We can't get better without making a change.
That was a reversal of the stance the chancellor took in the fall when it became clear that allegations of misconduct within the football program were not fading away.
We have established with Coach Davis and Mr. Brodeur and myself that we're not going to compromise when it comes to the eligibility of our student athletes. If we're not sure about their eligibility, then we're going to hold them out of caution. And you know, we're going to put their academic success above their success on the field. And so with the three of us all having demonstrated our commitment to that, then there's absolutely no reason why you'd want to change the group of people that are doing that.
Mr. Brodeur referenced there, of course, Dick Brodeur, the athletic director, who has now announced his resignation. It's been a lengthy investigation that's involved lawsuits, parking tickets, plagiarized term papers, and the tarnishing of many reputations. WUNC reporter Dave DeWitt is here to give us the play-by-play on this UNC football scandal. Hi, Dave.
Hi.
So this investigation's been going on since last summer, right?
It has. It all started with a Twitter message sent out by one of the former football players, Marvin Austin, who was doing what sometimes college students do, talking about parties he was attending and all the things he was getting. Unfortunately, he was getting most of those things from agents, and some of the things he was doing were illicit against as far as the NCAA is concerned. So that got the NCAA's attention. They started an investigation into improprieties and agent benefits. That led the university to start its investigation. That led to academic improprieties, which is a more serious offense, at least if you're at UNC. And then it sort of blossomed from there. 14 players were held out of the LSU game. 7 players eventually missed the entire season. And it's been a scandal that hasn't gone away. Since the season has been over, we've seen reports of parking tickets. We've seen reports of more sort of academic misconduct or looking back at some of the academic misconduct that took place. And we've seen that those things may have been worse than they thought.
I want to get into each of those things that you mentioned a little bit. But first, let's go back to after the NCAA came to town to investigate these claims of improper benefits from sports agents. And then the university undertook an in-house investigation. And what did that investigation find?
Well, a lot of times this happens. If the NCAA starts an investigation, the university that is being targeted will as well. And then whenever the NCAA investigates, the university always has a chance to investigate and then do self-imposed violations, self-imposed penalties based on that, because it's sort of an attempt to say, we're going to penalize ourselves, and that way the NCAA will either at the end come in and say, okay, that was good enough, or here's some additional penalties as well. So the university starts its investigation. In the process of that investigation, they came across a tutor named Jennifer Wiley, who it appears paid for parking tickets for players and gave them more benefit, or she wrote some things that she shouldn't have done and probably did some things she shouldn't have done in terms of academics. And so that, if you're the University of North Carolina Chapel, that's a much more serious issue because it could be isolated to players. Agent benefits is the kind of thing that goes on everywhere. Sometimes it's caught, sometimes it's not. But that's a select few athletes. But when you start getting into the academic mission of the university being questioned, that's a much more serious offense. And that's when things got a little more hairy and a little more focused. And it should be noted that Jennifer Wiley, the tutor who was at the heart of all this, also worked for the family of the football coach, Butch Davis, tutoring his children. So that was a connection that many thought at the time, and this was in the fall, would cost Butch Davis his job then.
But at that point, when the NCAA came back with their own list of allegations, Coach Davis is not named in that report. Right.
Right. That was just
this
June.
Right.
Right. They came back with a list of 9 allegations, and none of them were specific to Butch Davis or things that Butch Davis did or knew. And that's important. You know, if you look at scandals that are rocking football programs elsewhere, I pick Ohio State, the head coach there specifically was at the heart of the problems that were occurring. He resigned. So a lot of people, it was on the edge. Could Butch Davis survive this? The bigger question is, okay, if he didn't know these things, should he have known these things as the head of the program? That's a different issue, and one that's come up recently, because when they fired him, if they fire him for cause, they owe him nothing. If they don't fire him for cause, they owe him $2.7 million. They chose to owe him $2.7 million, but there is a clause in his contract that says if the NCAA shows that you knew or should have known. A lot of people believe the university should have enacted that clause and fired him with cause.
And the NCAA came back with 9 allegations last month. What's the gist of these allegations?
They're all the things that we think they are. It's mm-hmm. about the academic improprieties. It's about the agent-related benefits. So a lot of them focus on those two specific areas.
So there's this case also of Michael McAdoo, and he's one of the players who had to sit out the season due to academic fraud. But it turns out that his behavior was even worse than initially reported. What do we know about McAdoo now?
Well, McAdoo was one of the 7 players who was ruled permanently ineligible by the NCAA. The university believes that was too harsh of a penalty. They adhered to the penalty, but they went back to the NCAA and said, we think this is too harsh. And then McAdoo sued both the NCAA and UNC, saying that his penalty was too harsh. In fact, he went through the student honor court. They ruled him ineligible or could not come back to class for the second semester, but they said he could come back for the summer school, and then he could come back and be a student if he wanted to be. They say, and McAdoo's case was, well, because of that, he should be allowed to be a football player, just like a regular student be allowed to be on the band or anything like that. But in the process of, you know, making this lawsuit, all of these documents become public, including the paper that he wrote, that it has come out now is much more plagiarized than the student court would have thought it was at the time. And so it may be more of a stronger or deeper academic transgression than first believed.
And also in those papers that came out were all these parking tickets, a pretty substantial number of parking tickets. And why is that? I mean, why did people want those parking tickets to come out? And what's the deal there?
Well, when you're a journalist now, you're sort of searching for everything that could possibly, you know, you're doing public records requests for everything. And UNC being a public school, you can get most things, although the university fights back and says some of these things are private to the student, so shouldn't be released. And that was the fight over parking tickets. And the reason that the FOIA requests were made, the Freedom of Information requests were made, was to see not just the parking tickets and how many parking tickets some of these student athletes may have accrued, but what types of cars they were driving. The sense being if these cars were expensive, late model Lexus Range Rovers, that somehow that could point back to some of the improprieties, getting things from agents. It's been long, you know, a process that players have gotten $1 leases on cars that are, you know, much nicer than that, or their parents get a lease, or their cousin, or, you know, and they drive the car. I'm not saying that's happened here or anywhere nearby, but it's certainly something that's happened at some schools in the past. So that is sort of an inroad for newspapers and television stations and other operation to see, okay, where else can these students be getting some of these, you know, improprieties?
All right. So all these allegations have now come out. The NCAA has filed its list of allegations. And yet Butch Davis, Dick Bedore, the athletic director, not implicated in any of these things, but they're both out. Why?
Well, Butch Davis is out because Chancellor Holdenthorpe decided this was the time that to move forward. And these are in his words. To move forward, they were going to need a new face of the program. He said in the press conference that he believes that Butch Davis is honest when he says he didn't know about these things. There's no reason to believe that he knew about these things based on the investigations that have occurred. But the academic reputation of the university has been taking a beating for a year now. And if Butch Davis is still there, does that mean it continues to take a beating? And that's what Holdenthorpe said he didn't want to see anymore. He didn't want to see that the head of the program still being there and all of these things continue to come up. So he made that choice then. Dick Bedore was set to retire in June anyway. They tried to convince
him. June of next year.
Right, June of next year. They tried to say, why don't you stay on for another year or two, hire a football coach, and then we can move on. He wanted to retire, but he also knows no football coach who's going to be a good football coach or has a good reputation or has a good experience level is going to want to be hired by an AD he knows is going to be leaving soon, because that is a very strong, important trust relationship that needs to occur. So Dick Bedore did a thing. He, you know, sort of falling on the sword. He said, I'll leave early, bring in a new athletic director who can then bring in the new football coach. So there's no indication he's resigning, being forced to resign. In fact, Holdenthorpe wanted to keep him longer. And Dick Bedore is going to stay on through the NCAA hearing in October to help the university get through that part of it. He's leaving because he knows a new athletic director needs to hire the new football coach.
What kind of coach can UNC hope to get at this point, do you think?
Well, that's the thing. You know, UNC has always been seen as being a pretty attractive job in major college football. Even though it doesn't have a great reputation in major college football, no national championships like we have in basketball and everything else, and NC State has this sort of same issue with national championships, and Duke has national championships in basketball, but no football success at the same level. But because it's a large public university with a great reputation, and it's people would see that it's fairly easy to recruit to, and the facilities are getting better and better, as a head football coach, this is the kind of place where you could say, we could do pretty well there. And it's in a conference where it's a BCS conference, which means it's one of the major conferences that compete for the national championship every year. A lot of head football coaches will see that as a good job. Now, it all depends on whether the NCAA comes out with a lot of penalties. Are there going to be losses of scholarship? And are you going to be forbidden from going to a bowl game for a couple of years? Those are real distinct possibilities when the NCAA comes out with its penalties. That will determine what quality coach they can get.
This is The State of Things. We're talking today about the scandal involving UNC athletics. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how some of this evidence came out, not from NCAA investigators, not from journalists, but from rival team fans. WUNC reporter Dave DeWitt is going to stick with us, and we'll be taking your calls and emails, 877-962-9862 or SOT@WUNC.org. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.